"Oh, very well done, Arnold," said the duck man, helping him off the sodden sack and back onto his trolley. "I really doubted if the surface would support you at this stage of the tide."
"Bit of luck for me, eh, when that cart ran off my legs all them years ago," said Arnold sideways. "I'd have drowned else."
Coffin Henry slit the sacking with his knife and tipped the second lot of little terriers onto the ground, where they coughed and sneezed.
"One or two of the little buggers look done for," he said. "I'll give 'em mouth-to-mouth respiratoration, shall I?"
"Certainly not, Henry," said the duckman. "Have you no idea of hygiene?"
"Gino."
"You can't kiss dogs," said the duckman. "They would catch something dreadful." The crew looked at the dogs that were clustering around their fire. How the dogs had landed in the river was something they didn't bother to wonder about. All sorts of things landed in the river. It was the kind of thing that happened all the time. The crew took a keen interest in floating things, but it was unusual to get this many all at once.
"Maybe it's been raining dogs," said altogether Andrews, who was being steered by the mind known as Curly. The crew liked Curly. He was easy to get along with. "I heard the other day that's been happening lately."
"You know what?" said Arnold sideways. "What we ought to do, right, is get some stuff like wooden stuff and make a boat. We could get a lot more stuff if we had a boat."
"Ah, yes," said the duckman. "I used to mess about in boats when I was a boy."
"We could boat about in mess," said Arnold. "Same thing."
"Not exactly," said the duckman. He looked at the circle of steaming, retching dogs. "I wish Gaspode was here," he said. "He knows how to think about this sort of thing."
"A jar," said the apothecary carefully. "Sealed with wax," William repeated. "And you want an ounce each of oil of aniseed, oil of rampion, and oil of scalatine," said William. "I can do the first two," said the apothecary, looking at the little list he'd been given. "But there is no such thing as a whole ounce of oil of scalatine in the city, you realize. It's $15 for enough to go on a pinhead. We've got about enough to fill a mustard spoon, and we have to keep that in a soldered lead box under water."
"I'll take a pinhead's worth, then."
"You'll never get it off your hands, you know. It isn't really for the average..."
"In a bottle," said William patiently, "sealed with wax. You won't even smell the other oils. What do you want them for?"
"Insurance," said William.
"Oh, and after you've sealed it, wash off the bottle with ether, and then wash the ether off."
"Is this going to be used for some illegal purpose?" said the apothecary. He caught William's expression.
"Just interested," he added quickly.
When he'd gone to make up the order, William called in at a couple of other shops and bought a pair of thick gloves. When he returned, the apothecary was just bringing the oils to the counter. He held a small glass flask filled with liquid. Inside floated a much smaller phial. "The outer liquid's water," he said, pulling some plugs out of his nose. "Take it carefully, if you don't mind. Drop it, and we can kiss our sinuses goodbye."
"What does it smell of?" said William.
"Well, if I said cabbage," said the apothecary, "I wouldn't be saying the half of it."
Next, William went to his lodgings. Mrs. Arcanum was averse to boarders coming back to their rooms during the day, but at the moment William appeared to be outside her frame of reference, and she merely gave him a nod as he went upstairs. The keys were in the old trunk at the end of his bed. It was the one he'd taken to Hugglestone's. He'd kept it ever since, so that he could kick it occasionally. His checkbook was also in there. He took that, too. His sword rattled as his hand brushed against it. He'd enjoyed swordsmanship at Hugglestone's. It was in the dry. You were allowed to wear protective clothing, and no one attempted to stamp your face into the mud. He'd actually been the champion of the school, but this wasn't because he was much good. It was simply that most of the other boys were so bad. They approached the sport as they approached all others, in a great big, keen, screaming rush, using the sword as a sort of club. That meant that if William could avoid the first wild stroke, then he was going to win. He left the sword in the trunk. After some reflection, he pulled out one of his old socks and pulled it over the apothecary's bottle. Hurting people with broken glass wasn't part of the plan either. Peppermint. Not a bad choice, but they hadn't known what else was available, had they?